speaking of art, coming up this weekend on Saturday, August 17th, you can head over to Graham Alamance Arts on South Main Street for the opening exhibition of a really, or the opening reception for a really cool exhibition called Persia Sublime, photography, calligraphy, and miniature paintings all by Iranian-born artist Sia Yazdanfar. It opens on Friday the 16th. It runs until the end of the month on the 31st, but that opening reception is this Saturday from 6 to 9 p.m., and Sia Yazdanfar joins us here now in the studio. How are you?
Hello. Doing well. How are you doing, Aaron?
Thank you so much for being with us. I'm doing great. So tell us, first of all, about the exhibit. What is it? What does it entail?
Well, what it entails is got a couple of integral parts. Part of it is the calligraphy, part of it is the photography. Mm-hmm. The photography is different landscape scenes, people, places of my journeys in Iran the past couple of years where I reside now. 1,000-year-old mosques, 2,000-year-old tombs, old desert fortresses, bazaars, processions of camels, spice markets, whatnot. The other part of it is these books that have been literally a labor of love within my family. Original Persian miniature paintings commissioned 40 years ago before the revolution by my now late stepfather. Mm. And then to that is added inlay calligraphy by a master calligrapher, the most renowned calligrapher, if not in the Middle East, definitely in Iran, a gentleman by the name of Ghulam Hussein Amirkhani. He did the calligraphy in the paintings. And then later, a lady added some poem calligraphy, Rumi poems and Hafez poems. And that book is the culmination of 40 years of work to bring this book to publication. So that will be presented alongside these photographs.
That's awesome. And this is going to be a big reception. We were talking about
this
before.
It's going to be a fairly large reception. I do want to mention really quickly that at the same time as my reception is going on at Alamance Arts, which is a beautiful building built in the 1870s, there are three galleries in there. In the other two galleries will be a group by the name of Merge. It's an independent artist collective, a group of approximately 35 artists, sculptors, painters, whatnot. They will be in two galleries, and I'll be in the third one. So two shows going on at the same time, live music, refreshments, whatnot. I expect quite a bit of a crowd.
All on this Saturday, the 17th, from 6 to 9 p.m. So tell us your story. You were born in Iran, right?
Absolutely. I was born in Iran. I've lived all over. My father traveled for his work. This is prior to the revolution. I've been to Africa, Europe, all over Asia, and kind of got exposed to a lot of different cultures since I was very young. At some point, we migrated to the United States, which is where my brother and I went to school and grew up. And I was here for approximately three decades. There came a point when I felt stagnant and I felt I wasn't having any growth because, you know, you can grow financially, you can grow in experience with your work and everything, but you feel like you're not having any life growth.
Personal
and
growth,
I felt like
right?
Absolutely. I felt like I wanted to kind of reconnect with family, reconnect with traditions that I either didn't know or had forgotten, and then travel a little bit. So what began as a small journey where I intended to be gone to the Middle East for a couple of months ended up being a catalyst for an entire life change. I actually was going to tell you that I was reading a small bio about yourself about talking about downsizing a few years ago. You had written an article and you were talking about getting rid of a lot of material goods. You were talking about having, like, for example, two cabinets and going down to one to have less books. Well, imagine that on a bit larger scale. I had a beautiful three-bedroom home in Hillsborough where I lived by myself, you know, you know, multitude of furniture and electronics and all sorts of stuff. I got rid of everything and downsized my life into two suitcases.
Wow.
It was both scary.
How long did that take?
Oh, my God. Well, the planning for it, I'd say, took anywhere. I thought about it for a little while.
Yeah,
but the actual planning,
6 months
with three of it being pretty intensive.
Yeah.
But it was really, you know, it was scary, as I said, but it was, once it was said and done, it was very liberating.
Yeah.
To not be confined by anything like that. Being single, not having any children, whether that's good or bad, it did allow me a modicum of freedom to be able to focus on what I wanted to do. And I was at a stage in my life where I could do that. So traveling to Iran, 7,000 miles away where I ended up, travels and whatnot kind of brought me to a place where I continued the work of my late stepfather. He was a publisher. He was very well renowned. He was, as many artists are, a great artist and not a good businessman. He had produced a great deal of volume of work, but I don't think it was for financial gain. He just kept worrying about producing because I think he thought he was going to live forever, as many people do. And unfortunately, he passed before I got there. I never got to see him in person. We were very close. He never got a visa. He wasn't able to get a visa to come to the United States because of, the adversarial relationship between the countries. And, you know, I want to say apolitical with this, but for whatever reason, he wasn't able to ever visit me, whereas my mom would visit me from time to time. Mm. And we shared the same birthday. We spoke all the time and everything. He knew I had an interest in photography as a hobbyist, but he was a professional photographer and publisher. So I continued with what was left over with a few hundred copies of his books and everything, because we knew we had to deal with some book brokers and fine and rare collectors and whatnot that wanted those. And then this project of bringing these other two books to print kind of fell into my lap. And I decided, possibly in the worst economic climate of any nation in the world after the sanctions, said that the best thing to do when people are providing, trying to provide for basic goods is open an art gallery.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. It was a labor of love, you know, throughout my travels, just have been enriching my life beyond what I expected. One thing led to another, and the next natural step was to try to expose more people beyond the borders of Iran to all the beauty that is in that country, because what most people unfortunately see, what we're force-fed by the media, both over there and over here, is not the best view of what other people are.
You see the conflict.
Absolutely,
and, yeah.
Absolutely. So while I'm not a propagandist and I'm not trying to sugarcoat any of the evil that lies out there in the world, I feel that there's so much pretty stuff that binds us all together as human beings that it would be a shame to not share my experiences of one of the absolute cradles of civilization with a greater audience. And so the focus of these exhibitions, the sum of the parts is greater than the individual books of calligraphy or miniature paintings or the photography. It's the stories that go along with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a tremendously humbling and great reception for the last three exhibitions I've had. This will be the largest exhibition in North Carolina to date.
And the stories are equally important, because it's not just the beauty that needs to be highlighted. It's just the everyday life of people, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, we've had got together, myself and Miss Teresa Chandler, who is a gem. She's the visual director for Alamance Arts. She also does all the booking for the Mebane Community Arts Center as well as the Paramount Theater. So she has a lot on her plate.
Mm-hmm.
And what people don't realize, whether an artist's work, whatever medium they may use, is perceived as talented or good or whatever you want to call it, around the Triangle, we're blessed with an abundance of galleries here, Chapel Hill, Carville, Hillsborough. There's a very liberal and arts-minded folks. However, those galleries are all booked for a couple years in advance. This slot that opened up here was through a lot of diligence and the fact that I'm a very, very, very fortunate person. I don't want that to go unsaid. But I would definitely like people, whether they come as a guest and turn into a patron or just want to browse and be exposed to different culture, to definitely consider this as something to do on the weekend. Downtown Graham is beautiful.
It is, yeah. Speaking with CAS Downfire again, Persia Sublime is the name of the exhibition. It opens August 16th, which is Friday, runs through the 31st, but the opening reception is on the 17th from 6 to 9 p.m. So what should people know about your art that we haven't had a chance to talk about?
There's a couple of things with this particular exhibition that I would like to touch on.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say that all of the files for the photography, obviously, I did not bring those over from Iran. I took over 47,000 photos the past 2 years.
Wow.
So a selection of those will be in this exhibition, somewhere between 30 and 35.
How do you choose 35 out of 47,000?
You know what? You have to. I chose subject matters.
Right.
I stayed away from people except for a couple of the prints. I just want to show the larger historic sites that have a broader mass, broader appeal. Perhaps my own viewpoint of those through my lens. However, places like Isfahan, which was the capital of the Persian Empire twice, Mashhad, which is the heart of Shia Islam, where Imam Reza's mausoleum is, and over 600,000 people can be in this mosque. It's the largest in the world.
Mm.
You know, Zoroastrian tombs, where sky burial sites that have been used for thousands of years, things like that, that maybe they're known a little bit, but not in depth. And not recent, no recent photos have been published from them, because most of the stuff is things that have been done before the revolution, or maybe by some tourist a couple of decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, what we do, first of all, the preparation for the prints, the quality of it, especially if you're charging a premium for photography, beyond the fact, as I said, the, you know, it's in the eyes of the beholder if it's worth anything or not. But I do know that the work is unique in the sense that, A, the subject matter, the preparation methods, we only use pigment-based inks, the paper is archival paper with some tooth, and every one of my photography prints is hand-lacquered, meaning it basically will last like a painting. In addition to that, the frames are made by a local craftsman under tutelage of a local craftsman who's been great, one of my best friends by the name of Mark Irvin of Irvin Woodworks. He's based out of Eflin, North Carolina. And if I could put a little plug in for him, Mark at IrvinWoodworks.com. Veteran-owned business. He's an amazing guy. The frames in this case are matched to the prints. So, for example, I just came from the woodshop. When I came here, we have some Purple Heart, which is an exotic hardwood used for boat building and other things. And the wood itself is purple, has a beautiful grain pattern. Some Wormy Maple, oak, mahogany, poplar, and a variety of other woods have been used in the frames that are individually matched to kind of accent the photographs better. As far as the books go, the original miniature paintings that I was discussing a bit earlier, those have not appeared anywhere else, not in any museum, not in any publication. So anytime, if at all, an homage is done to the old style of bookmaking where everything was done by hand and the illustration would tell the story also, this is that style of book. But when all those other books are done, if they are done, be it a Western book or an Eastern book, they always draw from paintings that are already available. These paintings have not been seen by Western eyes. And even in Iran, they haven't been seen by many people because every single copy of the book has to go through my hands before it gets to the public. I do want to say that because of the sanctions, the books that I have on me are the books that I brought in my suitcases a couple of months ago when I got here. I'm not able to get any more books from Iran. So again, this is not a push to get the books out of my hands because I had to hold them back from the last exhibition to even be able to display them here. Omid Safi, a gentleman who is a professor at Duke University, the head of Islamic studies, he actually attended the last show, and we're going to get these books to the Duke Library. And then on the UNC end for this upcoming show, Professor Carl Ernst, who is probably the foremost Rumi scholar in the States, being that the theme of the book is Rumi poetry. He and his wife, Judith Ernst, the head of the Orange County Artists Guild, will be two of my esteemed guests. So I'm looking forward to meeting them this Saturday night and talking to them.
Awesome. So how long are you going to be in the area before?
You know, I'm blessed by the fact that I have U.S. citizenship. So I was intending on being gone right now. I used to live in New Orleans, Key West and Savannah, amongst other places. But New Orleans is dear to my heart. And I was intending on heading south for a couple of exhibition potentials. I still have that trip scheduled, possibly in September, but I am going up to New York, the state, not the city. I'm going upstate New York, and as well as possibly Toronto before I go back. So kind of a, wouldn't call it quite a world tour, but let's say a Northern American
tour.
If
it's two countries, you can call it a world tour. It's international.
So we're
going
to do that before I go back to the Middle East, you know, Qatar and then Iran, and then, you know, we'll see. Kind of try to, you know, feed my fledgling business there, and then make it back here for anything that I might book next year.
Sounds good. Again, speaking with Sia Yazdanfar, we got to wrap up, but again, the exhibition is August 16th through the 31st at Alamance Arts, South Main Street in Graham. The opening reception is this Saturday, the 17th from 6 to 9 p.m. If people want more information about you or about the work, where can they go?
Well, if they, I have a gallery website. As I said, my name is Sia. I will spell that obviously as S-I-A at galleryparsa.com. P-A-R-S-A. So see you at galleryparsa.com, or they can just go to Alamance Arts Facebook page, and my name is listed there, and you know, they can contact me via Facebook or Messenger, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I'm really looking forward to seeing this
exhibition.
Thank you for your time. Sia Yazdanfar, thank you so much for being with us today.
Have a great day.